This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load, and joining me now is that gentleman who more people read his stuff than anybody else when they're looking at stuff in the gun culture, and that is Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Bill. Glad to be here.
How are things looking in Arizona right now, now that it's sort of purple?
I haven't looked at the numbers just in the last day or so, but it was about a 9,000, 10,000 spread in favor of Biden the last I looked, and you know, about 35,000 or 40,000 votes yet to be counted. A lot of them provisional ballots and such. So I haven't checked in the last 24 hours. I have to say,
I did see that McSally conceded to Mark Kelly.
Oh yeah, well. It was a tough slog for her to overcome. There was, you know, about a percent difference in her. President Trump's race is much closer. And it just is, it's kind of surprising to me, but there was just such an overwhelming amount of money spent to push Mark Kelly across the edge, and they carefully hid a lot of his positions. And I and some others, you know, tried to get his position on Second Amendment, gun control, and banning of AR-15s and such out to the public. I hate to say it, but the McSally campaign seemed to pay very little attention to that.
I'm going to tell you something that I believe about politicians. I believe politicians are only as good as their staffs. And if her staff is like the staffs that I see around here, most of the staffs, congressional staffers, are pretty young people, right? Did you ever get to see any of her staff members?
No, but I saw a bunch of the ads, and I'll tell you, the ads were aimed almost entirely, it seemed to me, at suburban females. That seemed to me what the ads were aimed at. They talked about Mark Kelly, you know, being involved in some commercials where there were women that were scantily clad, and that was a bad thing. And, you know, to me, they did not seem to be hard-hitting ads from my perspective. But if you were, you know, a young millennial woman or a millennial woman, they're not that young anymore, maybe that would be something that would be real important to you. But that's what I saw.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess they're gonna find out. They'll find out the fun way. They'll find out the fun way. Everybody that supported him over McSally, and maybe she'll. She's not a very good campaigner, is she?
What I saw of her is when she could get into the mode, she was doing pretty well, but. It's like I think she paid too much attention to the McCain machine when she got appointed, and that's where she seemed to be sort of running from. She originally was not a real strong Trump supporter. Then she became a pretty strong Trump supporter in Congress, and she was doing well. That's one of the reasons I wanted to see her.
Who did she replace?
I think she replaced, would have been McCain or Flake. It was one of the two, and I'm trying to think of which one it was.
See, and this is the thing. Against either one of those, lots of people would seem pro-Trump.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm ashamed that we had those two senators in for a long time, but I tell you, they worked very hard to fool us. And they had the full support of nearly all the media in Arizona to fool the voters again and again.
Yeah.
And then they'd go to D.C. and they'd start stabbing us in the back. But to try to get the word out to enough people was very difficult.
So, anyway. I'm sorry to see Arizona go that way. I when I think of Arizona, I think of you. And I just don't see Arizona being in that particular... You know, I guess
the population centers are growing in Phoenix and in Tucson, and so, you know, those population centers, the urban centers just don't vote as conservatively as the rural areas, as we have seen. So, are we? Are you interested in this bear?
Absolutely, I am. We got about we got right at 3.5 minutes, we can start this. Now, let me ask you a question about this, because we keep coming back to bear spray. I look at these guys that are advocating for bear spray. Are they either just hyper love the animals, and if they eat you, that's fine, or anti-gun to such a degree? Because lots of people seem to say, well, listen, you don't need no gun. Just get some bear spray. Get some bear. It sounds like Biden. Get a shotgun. Just get a shotgun. Get some bear spray. Just get some bear spray.
Yeah, it's hard to know precisely, but it looks to me like it's sort of evolved like this, that they said, gee, you know, we've got to protect, there's very few grizzly bears, especially down in the lower 48, and they get in a conflict with somebody and they get shot. Well, that's one less of this extremely rare species that we got to protect. So we got to figure out some way for people to protect themselves without guns. And that pushed the development of bear spray.
Uh-huh.
And then when bear spray was out there, they said, wow, we really need to push this as better than guns. I mean, that's the way it looks to me, because the actual research is not anywhere near as positive for bear spray as the media would have you believe. And I've talked to people who were convinced from the research, the way they'd read it, the way it had been reported, that bear spray was absolutely way better than guns to defend yourself. But then when they started looking at the reality of it and digging into the numbers and seeing what actually was reported, they said, whoa, this is completely hyped. It's nowhere near as effective as it's being hyped as. And, you know, you're misleading people when you say that it's better than firearms.
Well, I mean, especially where it's used, because where it's used, you have wind, you have variance in temperature. Anything that's aerosol and chemical is not going to perform at minus 30 like it would at 30 or like it would at 60, correct?
That's correct. But the first thing I discussed, because what happened was that Tom Smith and some was a lead instructor. Tom Smith is one of the top two writers of papers about the efficacy of bear spray and of firearms. And the two papers he worked with, and I think with Stefan Herrero of, I think, University of Alberta, and Tom Smith from Brigham Young University.
Right.
Those two papers, one about bear spray and the other about firearms, are used to compare how good one is over the other. But They work off completely different data sets, completely different definitions.
Do me a favor. Let me point out how people can go and find you, and we'll continue this discussion when we get to the other side. Now, Dean has written over 3,100 articles. Over 1,600 of them are in one spot, waiting for you right now. And that would be Ammoland.com. That's where the publisher there, the editor-in-chief, his name is Freddie Real, in front of all the writers at the Breakfast at SHOT Show. He said in front of everybody there, he said, Dean gets read by more people than anybody else that writes about this stuff, and I concur. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Oh,
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expansive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation to supporting detoxification to stabilization of blood sugar and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. Greenmeadowway.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, and we were talking about bear spray. Somebody sent me a video from I've got an affiliate in Alaska, and he sent me a video of a bear coming up. I mean it was a bear that when it stood up, it filled the whole glass door, and the bear wanted the bird feeder, and the bear got the bird feeder. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah.
And, but see, the thing is with the bear, at that particular moment, the fact that the bear only wanted the bird feeder was pure dumb luck. Because if that bear wanted to come through the door, I mean, these people, and they're much braver than me, because I will, must have been standing on the other side of the door with their iPhone going, look, it's a bear.
Yeah, and a big bear at that. So, and even a small bear can do you enormous damage very quickly. So, what I wanted to talk about some more on this paper, and I want to read the title of the paper. It's An Investigation of Factors Influencing Bear Spray Performance. And like I said, the lead investigator is Tom Smith. So what he was trying to do with his study was to figure out how much bear spray was limited by things like wind and cold and age and, you know, how quickly a bear spray canister would run out, that kind of thing. And but the very opening, and he sent me a copy of the paper. You can read the shortened version of the paper. It's called the abstract. You can read that online easily enough. But if you try to get the full copy, it's a paywall. So I sent Tom Smith an email. We'd corresponded before, and he very graciously sent me a copy of the full paper. And the first sentence in the paper advances what I call a dubious premise. It says, we can contribute to bear conservation by reducing bear mortalities due to human-bear conflicts. I mean, that's an interesting premise, but it's not obvious or self-evident or indisputable. In fact, I don't think it makes sense at all. Bear populations have to be managed to be conserved. The most effective management tool to keep bears from overpopulating is to harvest the surplus population. Usually that's done by hunting. But brown bears or grizzlies or Kodiak bears are all basically the same thing. Or polar bears and black bears, their populations are increasing in most places where they exist in North America and the Arctic. They're not endangered. And as those populations increase, there are conflicts with humans, which is exactly what we're seeing most places. The number of conflicts with humans and bears is going up. It's a pretty small number, but it's increasing a bit. But the number of bears that have to be harvested to keep a stable population is in nearly all situations much higher than the number of bears involved in human conflicts. So if you reduce bear mortalities in human-bear conflicts, all it means is more bears need to be harvested in regulated hunting season. So it has no serious effect. And it's preferable that problem bears be selectively harvested. You want to take those bears out of the population which are causing problems which get into human-bear conflicts. Well, that's done automatically when you have a human-bear conflict, and it's resolved by harvesting the bear. A bear killed in a human-bear conflict is one less bear that needs to be harvested in regulated bear hunting season. And it's one less bear with a propensity to come into conflict with humans. So reducing bear mortalities due to human-bear conflicts only shifts which bears are harvested, not the number that need to be harvested. And there are numerous safeguards that are in place to guard against someone indiscriminately harvesting bears and disguising it as a legitimate response to human-bear conflict. So I don't see that reducing bear mortalities in human-bear conflicts is any kind of valid reason to use bear spray compared to firearms. It doesn't improve bear conservation. All it does is shift which bears are harvested away from the bears that are causing problems.
Now, in the event, let me ask you this. In the event, like if somebody does come up on somebody and they empty a can of bear spray, running the bear away because the bears come at them and try to attack them, aren't they going to hunt that bear down and kill it anyway?
It depends. I've seen it go both ways. Most of the time, if a person is injured, the bear will be killed anyway. And a lot of times when the bear has shown a direct threat to humans and is obviously not is acclimated to humans, they will hunt down and kill the bear anyway. So the number of bear mortalities that you're reducing by using bear spray is a very small number, a very small, tiny number. Now, I admit there are a couple of reasons for people to use bear spray instead of firearms to protect themselves and their property. And here's the two reasons I see. One, if you're in a place where firearms are not allowed due to legal prohibitions. So if you're not allowed to have a firearm there, bear spray is better than nothing. And then two, there are people who, for various reasons, are either unwilling or unable to use firearms effectively or reasonably. Or right. They might be prohibited from having a firearm legally. Well, bear spray is better than nothing. So I reject the first sentence that Tom has in his paper because I don't think it's correct. Now, there are good reasons for studying the effectiveness of bear spray under various conditions, and that's what they work at. And they designed lab and field experiments to document the influence of temperature, wind, repeated discharges from the same canister and canister age. Now, they come up with this recommendation, and it said at the end of the abstract, and it's really, I think it's kind of a weak recommendation, but listen to it because it's coached a particular way.
Well, you got, I tell you what, hold that if you would, because I do want to hear it all, and I don't want to interrupt you while you're in the middle of giving it, because we're headed to the break. For those of you that are interested in this article and any articles that Dean has written, you can go to ammoland.com, go down to the bottom right of the page, click on All Contributors. That'll pop up a roster of different writers that are out there. Dean is in the middle on the left. Click on that. And that's going to take you to the trove that is the 1,600-plus articles that he has available. If you go there and you do it, then start reading all of them. And when you're done with that, we'll put you in contact with Dean, and you can find some other ones to read. I don't expect to hear from you anytime soon. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to CZ-USA.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made-in-America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is again pushing for an aggressive stimulus package as coronavirus cases continue to increase across the United States.
Our focus in the Congress continues to be on COVID relief. This is a red alert. All hands on deck.
Jim Jeffrey, the United States' retiring special representative to Syria and the special envoy in the fight against ISIS, confirmed on Thursday that he and other senior administration officials routinely misled President Trump on troop levels in the Middle East. Jeffrey, speaking to Defense One, explained how, although President Trump's stated promise was to withdraw American troops from the Middle East, he was able to convince the president to commit to keeping between 200 and 400 troops in the region in 2019 to secure oil fields held by U.S. allies. You're listening to USA Radio News. President Trump set to address the nation from the Rose Garden at 4 o'clock Eastern Time today. A state judge in Michigan denied a bid by a conservative legal group to block the certification of election results and force an independent audit of votes in Detroit, calling the allegations of misconduct and voter fraud incorrect and not credible. Coronavirus continuing to impact the world of sports.
As positive coronavirus tests have postponed a number of college football games this weekend, one conference is canceling all sports for the next several months. The Ivy League announced Thursday that all winter sports would be canceled, shelving men's and women's basketball, wrestling, indoor track and field, swimming, and fencing. The league also postponed the start of spring sports until the end of February and won't conduct previously canceled fall sports during the spring semester. The Ivy League was the first college conference to start canceling its sports calendar when the pandemic began back in March. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Live, this is Lock and Load. We are speaking with writer and activist Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about bears because bears fascinate me. The bear-human interaction fascinates me. The whole idea that there's a segment of humans out there that says, just go out there with some bar spray, it'll be okay. That fascinates and disgusts me. Now you are about to feed me some information there that I had to hold you up on. Please, sir, if you would.
Yes. Here's the recommendations from the paper there at the end of the abstract, and you have to listen carefully because it's parsed pretty densely.
Gotcha.
Okay. Here it is. We recommend not test firing cans, keeping cans warm when in the cold, and retiring them when they're greater than or equal to four years of age. Our results provide no compelling reason to not carry bear spray in all areas where bears occur, even if it is windy or cold. Now, that's not really a very strong recommendation. And it says, we don't see any reason why you shouldn't carry it.
Now, let me ask you a question. How would you, do they actually make a sleeve that you can carry this stuff in that's like a chemical hand warmer or something to keep it warm? Or,
not that I've seen.
Do we need to create that product and get rich doing it, Dean?
Yeah, that's an idea. That's not a bad idea. Because otherwise, the traditional method is you put it inside your coat, you know, next to your shirt so that it stays warm by body heat. Of course, the problem with that is it really delays how quickly you can get at it.
Yeah.
And then later on, Tom Smith talks about how with brown bears, a whole lot of attacks are surprise attacks at very close range.
Right.
So, I'm going to have to, I think we got a little time, so I'm going to try and get this as densely as I can.
Sure.
Yeah, all experiments are limited by time constraints, cost constraints. So it's important to know what the experimental design was. And this experimental design measured and simulated the physical dispensing of the spray. It didn't measure anything about the effect of the spray on bears. It measured, tried to simulate the physical dispensing of the spray. And the dispensing of the spray under wind conditions was simulated in a computer program using data obtained from a high-speed video of the spray plume. It was not measured in various natural wind environments. And the effects of the temperature on bear spray was obtained by chilling the bear spray canisters in like a freezer, not in exposing them to environmental conditions and dispensing the spray in the environment. That probably doesn't make a big difference, but it could make some difference. I think the bear spray might dispense a little differently in air that is near zero or freezing instead of cold spray being dispensed in warm air. And the other thing is there wasn't any consideration, and these are hard to do, of synergistic effects. And that's the natural environment's not the same as the laboratory. And it can't easily be simulated in computer programs. And natural effects combine and reinforce each other in unexpected ways. And I've seen that in my 30 years with the Department of Defense Research, Development, Testing, and Evaluation. And you know, it's difficult to do those experiments, except if you do them in an actual natural environment. So there was no consideration of precipitation or foliage or other obstacles or of possible physiological differences in bears when they're at very cold temperatures, for example. So we can speculate on that kind of stuff, but that's not what they measured in this study. Now, what they did measure was the physical dispensing with a computer program and of cold bear spray, and they measured what happens when the canisters are old. And they measured, how quickly the bear spray is dispensed. And what they did find was very interesting and actually has some sobering and interesting information. And the biggest, most pronounced effects were from the winds. And winds from any wind, I mean, any detectable wind, from 1 meter per second on up. That's about 2 miles per hour. You can barely detect a breeze that is that light. Had a profound effect on the range of the bear spray. So if the wind was moving from you to the bear, which is going to be a minority of the time, then the bear spray plume was extended to 10 meters and beyond. But if it was moving from the bear to you or a crosswind, if the bear was moving toward you and it was 1 meter per second or more, which is really very light wind, the range was limited to about 5 to 7 feet. That's kind of close. And if it was a side wind, it was limited to about 8 to 11 feet, which is still very close. Now, I couldn't reproduce the figure because it's copyrighted as part of the article. But
how fast does a bear charge you?
Well, a fast bear will be going at least 30 miles an hour, which is about 45 feet per second. So he'll blow through 10 feet in a quarter of a second. Now, so that's with the wind. I mean, it's really incredible that wind has such a tremendous effect in this experiment. I didn't do the experiment myself. I wonder if it might be different if it was done in natural conditions instead of with a computer simulation, but that's what they're showing. Now, when you get cold, there was also dramatic difference. When you got below 64 degrees, which isn't all that cold, the plume only went to about 13 feet or so. Well, that's, again, it's pretty close. And when you got down to about freezing and 9 degrees below zero Fahrenheit, the width of the plume was very much restricted. It got down to about 12 to 14 inches. Well, that means it's a lot harder to hit something with than a plume that's, say, 3 or 4 or 5 feet wide. And so this, these are significant effects that limit the usefulness of the spray, in my opinion. Now, the age of the canisters didn't have much effect. It appeared that even 10-year-old canisters didn't change very much. But what they found is 1 second of spray emptied half the can. And the pressure dropped by half in that 1 second.
So when the pressure drops, is there also a resulting loss of distance when you spray?
They didn't discuss that.
Yeah.
That was,
well, you would think that would be the case, though, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
But when you see that just any amount of wind reduces the range of the spray, if it's coming at you, tremendously reduces it, I don't know if that pressure would be real significant. And, again, this is a computer simulation. Not for the pressure, but for the wind.
Right.
So
right.
What I would say, if a reader could draw the conclusion.
Tell you what, before you draw the conclusion, we're coming up on the last break. So let's direct a few people, if we can, to ammoland.com, where you can find this. This article was published on published today. So it's probably still on the front page. And it's fascinating because people are going outdoors more and more. And, they're going to run into this kind of thing more and more. There's more to armed self-defense than just people. We'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay. What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Time on the firing line, coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. And we've been talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about this perplexing issue where for some reason there is a group of humans out there that think you should either only use bear spray or voluntarily the bear chow, I guess. But don't take a gun out there. And, you know, we see this with humans all the time. Non-lethals don't work on every... there is no one-size-fits-all.
That's correct. I mean, non-lethals with humans have their places, and oftentimes they do work. But you don't have to worry as... should not have to worry as much when dealing with animals as you do with people about the consequences of using deadly force. So... I would like to put out what I thought readers would gain if they read this study. The results, they might draw this conclusion. The results show compelling reasons to favor firearms over bear spray in conditions where there might be wind or cold. And the reasons are pretty clear because firearms work well in cold and wind. And they have a longer range than bear spray. 10 times as far, at least, for even a modest shot with a handgun, and 7 times as far during cold temperatures, and they're very effective at very close ranges, too. And in really cold or windy conditions, you've got to aim that bear spray pretty well, but you don't have sight, and you don't have an ergonomic grip. And it's easy to reload a firearm, which has more deterrent capacity than bear spray to start with. I mean, firearms, modern firearms, 5 to 15 rounds, common. And one round can and often has stopped a bear. And when a bear is stopped with a firearm, it's unlikely to return and attack again. While that's happened several times when bears have been sprayed with bear sprays, they some fairly often come back and attack again.
Right.
And then firearms can be kept easily in cold conditions, readily accessible, while bear spray is recommended to be kept warm, making it harder to access. So your idea of a bear spray holster that has a warmer with it, you know, that might be a saleable product. And what we see is that contrary to what has been pushed, firearms are extremely effective in preventing and stopping bear attacks. And you can look at my research on Amaland about that if you want to see it about handguns. Handguns, Weingarten, bear attacks, it'll all come up. Now, what I found very interesting was that Tom Smith gave an interview to Alaskan Public Media on October 12th. You can find it online if you search Alaskan Public Media, Tom Smith, October 12th. And in the interview, he explained that he had a great deal of difficulty recruiting graduate students for this study because it was pretty easy to be incapacitated by the bear spray. And here's a quote from his interview. We had a breeze that blew when he and another graduate student were incapacitated. Tom is a professor, not a graduate student. He and a graduate student were incapacitated. He said, "We had a breeze that blew just the lightest cloud back at us, and we blindly clawed our way into a building, and we found ourselves in a woman's restroom washing our faces." So just the slightest little breeze, and he and this graduate student were incapacitated. You don't want to be incapacitated when a bear is attacking them. And if you have a headwind with the wind blowing toward you from the bear, their simulations show that if you spray at the bear, it's only going to reach out about 5 to 7 feet. So you have very little room for error. If you spray too soon, the bear spray is going to be blown back in your face away from the bear, and you're going to become incapacitated. And you wait too long, and you're in a deadly fight with the bear before it's sprayed. And then you may not be able to spray the bear when you're in hand-to-hand combat with the bear. And here is the other comment that Tom made, and I just think he's way overly optimistic. Here's what he says. And he's saying that, well, you know, the wind is really not all that important because most of the time, a lot of times the attacks are surprise attacks in heavy cover. And here's his quote. "If push comes to shove and you know you've got a can of bear spray, you're going to get the bear in the face. You may not like it being 3 feet away, but you're going to get it." Now, that seems way overly optimistic. I mean, bears, if they're moving fast, they're moving 40, 50 feet per second. And you're going to catch it just within it's in that 5-foot range where you have to do it with the bear spray. Remember,
would bear spray incapacitate a human? I would think it would, right? Like worse than pepper spray.
Well, it's just as we talked about earlier about non-lethals in humans. Some humans are more resistant to the pepper-type sprays than others. But most people, you're at least blinded, you can't see well, and we depend very strongly on our visual sense to be able to defend ourselves. I would think that humans would be at least as likely to be incapacitated as a bear, if not more so. And we have a number of examples where that exact thing happened, that people got sprayed, as well as the bear being sprayed, and they were incapacitated. You know, they couldn't function real well. One of them, I remember one instance very specifically, where he had a handgun, and he fired at the bear, but he doesn't know for sure if he hit it, because he was mostly blinded by this bear spray that had been sprayed. So, I just find it very optimistic on the part of Tom Smith to say, well, if you got that bear spray, you're going to hit the bear in the face, and it might only be 3 feet away, but that's okay. I mean, that just seems, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Whereas if you hit the bear in the face with a reasonable handgun from 3 feet away, there's a good chance you're going to kill it.
Yeah. And you're not going to incapacitate yourself doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's...
And plus, you know, what I've shown is there's no threat to bear population from people defending themselves against bears. There just aren't that many human-bear conflicts to make a difference. If you took every human-bear conflict where it was justified in shooting the bear...
Right.
You remove a very tiny fraction of the bear population, and the ones you remove are the ones that are prone to conflict. So I don't see that there's much reason to prefer bear spray over handguns or firearms in general. I mean, there are reasons why people may need to use them. Like I said, legal prohibitions, or they're not interested in learning how to use a firearm, or they, for moral reasons, don't want to use the firearm, or legal reasons they can't use the firearm because they're prohibited possessor or something like that. But I just don't see any serious reason why you would pick bear spray as being more effective than a firearm.
You know, and here's the thing. I would think that if you're out there and you've got a bear that's gone rogue and it's attacking you, that you're doing a public service taking it out. Because even if you do manage to escape with bear spray, they're not going to track that bear down and take it out immediately. And that bear might catch somebody else and kill them. So you're actually, it's a civic duty, Dean.
Yes, and even if they follow that bear and they track it, put dogs on it or whatever, and take it out, it's at considerable expense.
Yeah.
You have to use the expense of the state, your tax dollars and everything to take out that bear. When if they'd have been armed, they could have taken it out right then and not worry about it.
Yeah. So anyway, we're about to run out of time. So if we could, you going to be with me Wednesday?
I certainly intend to, barring this adventure.
Well, let's just hope that the world doesn't get any crazier in between now and then, and if it does, we'll talk about it. Thank you very much for joining me this evening.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Yes, likewise. Back again on Monday. Be sure and check out Gun Owners News Hour tomorrow if it comes in your area, and if not, maybe ask for it in your area. That'd be nice, too. Remember this, it has never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, and it's always going to be, about total control. This has been Lock and Load. Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American made to the highest standard.
At STI, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIGuns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.